Workshop Production. Our team today, Daniel Lara and Sergio Martinez at the mics, and in charge of the technical production, editing and music selection, Romel Cajavilca. Latin Time will return next Sunday at 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Stay tuned to CKUT next, the International Radio Report. Have a happy Sunday.
This is Christian Breton of Quebec City, Quebec. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, February the 21st, 2021. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill, and you have tuned in to our weekly half hour of news and information about the world of radio here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We're also available through the CKUT website, ckut.ca, where you can listen to us live streaming or archived. And we also invite you to join our Facebook group. We have a couple new members this week, Attar and Matthew, joining us. Look for International Radio Report on Facebook and join the group and participate in the conversations, read the stories, whatever happens on that page. Lots of activity there. We continue to invite you to email us. We are still getting emails in from listeners, our listeners to the program around the world and here locally in Montreal as well. If you are out there listening to us, a new listener or a longtime listener, drop us a note at radioreport@yahoo.com. Let us know your name, where you live, and how you're listening to our show. And we're just compiling a list of all that to just see how far we reach out. And it's quite surprising to see. Lots of dedicated listeners out there spread all over the world. So it's really nice to see those notes coming in. So it's radioreport@yahoo.com.
Yeah, it's fun to hear from everybody and know that they're out there.
That is for sure. And lots of nice comments, too. I mean,
absolutely.
It's very, very encouraging reading through them all. So we thank everybody that's taken the time to send those in. We want to remind you to start the show today that we are finally approaching next weekend the 34th Annual Winter SWL Festival. It is coming up on the 26th and the 27th. If you haven't registered by now, you'll be sorry. It's going to be a lot of fun. It is the Friday and Saturday, 26th and 27th. It's being held using the Zoom platform. You can still see if you are registered and you want to check out the timing of all the events that are going on. It is all listed out on the website for the Winter SWL Festival. It is SWLFEST.com, SWLFest.com. And we look forward to seeing lots of people. I think the last we heard, the registration is somewhere around 200 people. So it's going to be a really good turnout. Lots of really interesting sessions taking place at the Winterfest. So that's coming up 26th, 27th. We look forward to seeing everybody online at the event.
Yep.
Our first story this week is an obituary, a very well-known and controversial figure in the world of broadcasting passed away this past week, none other than Rush Limbaugh. And we have a clip, Gilles, that you have pulled for this.
Yes, absolutely. A CNN audio clip that we're going to take a listen that describes pretty well the persona of Rush Limbaugh.
A pioneer of conservative media and a deeply polarizing figure, Rush Limbaugh became the most prominent political radio host in modern American history.
We make the complex understandable, and we do it in a way that makes you love your country, not hate it.
He started as a top 40 DJ.
A program exclusively designed for rich conservatives and right-minded Republicans.
But shifted to AM talk radio in the 80s. His namesake show was nationally syndicated in 1988, eventually expanding to more than 600 radio stations. Fans, known as Ditto Heads, cheered his brazen style, while critics blasted him for racist, sexist, and other offensive speech. He accused actor Michael J. Fox of exaggerating his Parkinson's symptoms.
He is moving all around and shaking, and it's purely an act.
Women must decide their fate.
And he insulted a college student who advocated for access to birth control.
It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute.
After sponsors dropped his show, Limbaugh apologized for that one.
I again sincerely apologize to Ms. Fluke for using those two words to describe her.
In 2003, his stint as an NFL commentator on ESPN lasted only 4 weeks. He resigned in the face of public outcry after suggesting that Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb was overrated because of his race.
The media has been very desirous that a black quarterback do well.
But Limbaugh's popularity survived all the controversies as well as his own personal struggles. In 2001, he suffered hearing loss from an autoimmune disease. 2 years later, he admitted a drug problem.
I am addicted to prescription pain medication.
Limbaugh was arrested for doctor shopping in 2006, but went to rehab and the charge was dropped. Through it all, he remained a hero to the right, defending Republicans from what he said was the biased liberal media. Radio executives praised his storytelling abilities and his broadcasting talent. Limbaugh was a GOP kingmaker and a close ally of President Trump, with a direct line to the White House.
I just received clearance. The president has gotten word to me that he is either getting funding for the border or he's shutting the whole thing down.
In 2020, President Trump awarded Limbaugh the Medal of Freedom at the State of the Union.
In recognition of all that you have done for our nation, the millions of people a day that you speak to and that you inspire.
A day before, Limbaugh announced that he had been diagnosed with advanced lung cancer, and he spoke directly to his radio audience.
Over the years, a lot of people have been very nice telling me how much this program has meant to them, but whatever that is, it pales in comparison to what you all have meant to me.
A conservative media icon whose legacy will always symbolize division.
Well, he certainly was a controversial figure. Some of you, if you weren't familiar with him, you're probably a little surprised at some of those comments that were made by him over the years. You know, controversy on radio, it's been become a popular thing. And I guess he was one of the leaders in that genre of broadcasting. Millions of followers, millions of haters, people on both sides of the coin. He did make it into the Radio Hall of Fame, though, for what he did. He received many honors for his syndicated program. He was on hundreds and hundreds of radio stations throughout the United States. Like him or love him, his name is out there. It will be, as we said, he is in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And went through some pretty rough times in his final years and finally passed away from lung cancer at the age of 70. So I think the CNN audio clip, as you said, really kind of put it all into context, just who he was and what he was all about. So,
first time that I've ever heard Rush Limbaugh. I didn't know he was at the time. It was in the 90s when propagation was really, really good at the peak of solar activity. There was a station in Florida, WFLA, in Tampa Bay, Florida. They had a studio-to-link transmitter on 25 megahertz. And in the afternoon, I could hear that link on 25870 in FM mode. Well, it was Rush Limbaugh. All weekday, it was Rush Limbaugh playing. And that's the first time I've actually heard. I followed Rush Limbaugh for propagation purposes more than anything else. But, it made me listen to the guy and have a good idea of, the type of guy that he was on the air and his own, viewpoints. And like we say, controversial at times, but definitely somebody that it doesn't leave you, without thinking about or reflecting about something, because it was very easy to recognize his voice, too. It's like you could just tune a station for a minute and you're like, well, Rush Limbaugh.
I think, too, he was really at the forefront of this type of radio.
Yeah.
And we see this radio everywhere now. If you tune across the medium wave band, you hear just about every talk radio station is either, you know, it's either a conservative station or a liberal station. Everything seems to be very clearly divided now. And I think he maybe had a lot to do with that as he came into the markets in so many different places. And I think a lot of what he did spawned a lot of other types, similar types of radio stations. You know, if you can't beat them, join them. Or if you can't beat them in radio, copy them is an old phrase that's used. Yeah. And I think that's what happened in the case of Limbaugh. So anyways, I thought you'd enjoy that clip. As we said, it really kind of capsulizes what Rush Limbaugh was all about. So.
Absolutely.
Next, we're talking about medium wave. We're going to stay on the medium wave band subject. And there's a lot of activity going on in the DX world on medium wave these days. And it all results from an article in Radio Insight magazine. Family radio stations, which a religious organization that has owned a number of stations and programming, actually owned a shortwave outlet, the previous owner of Radio Miami International. Family stations suspended operations of one of their flagship radio stations, 1560 AM WFME in New York, on Monday, February the 15th at precisely 11:16 AM. The operators of the Christian Preaching Family Radio Network sold the 5-acre tower site of WFME to logistics real estate operator Prologis in November 2020 for $51 million. The station ran occasional sweepers explaining that 1560 will be leaving the air, but their programming will soon reappear in the market on a new not named signal. There's speculation that they may be going to an FM outlet at some point. In the interim, Family Radio is directing listeners to use their digital platforms. Now, what this has done is it's created a DX opportunity. 1560, I'd say anywhere east of the Mississippi, was pretty much dominated by the clear channel signal of WFME, which has had other formats previous to that. They were WQEW, they were WQXR. They were one of the first stations to broadcast classical music and popular standards music on the radio. Then eventually they moved to Radio Disney for a while, and when that folded up, Family Radio took over the outlet. Well, now the frequency is wide open, and that creates DX opportunities for medium wave DXers. So a lot of talk on the various Facebook groups and the radio clubs about what people are able to hear on the frequency of 1560. So far, stations have been logged from Texas, Indiana, Kentucky, Wisconsin. Some of the more Western-based listeners have been hearing some stations out on the West Coast as well. I've tried it a couple nights in a row here, and it's a mess, to put it bluntly. There's a lot of low-powered stations on the frequency, some that aren't even supposed to be on at night. They're daytime operations only. Some people feel that they may be pushing the limits and either staying on longer hours because they no longer have to worry about the New York City station. So check it out. The only station I've been able to hear is a black gospel station out of Elm Grove, Wisconsin. It is near Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So you'll hear they have preachers, they have gospel music, that sort of thing. It seems to be coming in quite well in the Northeast. Some of the other stations on the frequency, I can hear little bits of things in the background, but haven't been able to pull anything definite out yet. So you may want to check this out if you're interested in logging new stations on medium wave. It's not often that a clear channel frequency like this opens up. How long it will stay like that, we don't know, but take advantage of it while you can.
I'm going to try it a couple of nights this weekend, and I think it's going to be fun to try to DX on that frequency and see what we can hear, actually.
Couple tips. If you start checking, particularly in the east, anywhere, to start checking around your local sunset, because there are some stations that are on just until sunset. So you might, you know, depending on where you are geographically, and also very early in the morning, while it's sunrise, for example, here in Montreal, to the west of us, it'll still be dark. So you might have a darkness path, what we call a gray line path, that you might be getting from stations to the west of you as well. So those are a couple things to keep in mind. Check around your local sunset and your local sunrise to see what stations might be hiding out on 1560 as well.
Cool.
We go down to Texas, where it's just a horrible situation.
Oh, yeah.
On top of everything else going on, you sort of say, you know, what else can happen? Well, they've been hit by incredible, horrible weather situations, causing snow in places where they don't usually get it, shutting down power grids. It's really quite a mess. When anything like this happens, we like to remind you to listen to an online public service broadcasts. A website called broadcastify.com. You can call up a state, then you can call up different cities or counties and listen to the public service frequencies that are in that area. So I was checking out Texas. There's a lot of activity going on from ambulance services, fire departments, public service, police, fire, what have you, and emergency operations as well. You might also check out some of the FEMA operations, which do use HF on shortwave for some things, because FEMA has been called in to help with the situation in Texas as well. So broadcastify.com, which also has an app,
An app for iPhones and iPads and for Android phones. So if you have a smartphone, just go to the App Store and search for Broadcastify, and you'll have the app, and it has the same functionalities as the online website, but it's in the palm of your hand on your smartphone.
Okay, so you can check that out, and I don't know if anybody has heard any FEMA activity on HF yet, but check around the utility bands and see if anything pops up in any of the sources.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, because FEMA is pretty active on HF when something happens, so there must be something happening.
Okay, so there's a few listening tips for you to check out in your radio listening over the coming days and weeks ahead.
And what's happening with the sun? Well, the sun, which was very quiet in the past couple of weeks. No sunspots. Solar flux was down. Well, the good news, two sunspots have appeared on the solar disk. And they are small, but it's telling us that solar activity is slowly on the rise. The solar flux still low, around 72, 73. Might actually get a little higher if these sunspots can actually get a little bigger. What is happening is a solar wind stream is approaching the Earth. It could cause a minor G1 class geomagnetic storm when it hits on today, on February 21st. So if there's a little bit of degradation in the propagation, it's possible. Solar wind is flowing at speeds faster than 500 kilometers per second. So that could cause auroras for sure. And for the rest, it's a rather quiet moment, of course. And, well, just turn on that radio, listen in, and who knows what you're going to hear.
Next, we have a story about the trustworthiness of radio. And this is quite interesting, from Inside Radio.
So this is research that says radio found to be trustworthy among fans of all media. This is via Inside Radio. Throughout the pandemic, radio broadcasters were forced to reinvent how they create programming, engage with audiences, and keep the entertainment, companionship, and critical information flowing to their local communities. During that process, radio earned people's trust, according to recent survey data from MRI Simmons. A CATS analysis of the latest MRI Simmons COVID-19 Consumer Insight Study data finds radio is the most trusted medium, with 67% of adults deeming it trustworthy or very trustworthy. Radio narrowly edges out newspapers, 66%, surpasses both network TV, 62%, cable TV at 61%, in trustworthiness. Radio also outperforms both computer internet, 57%, and mobile internet, 51%, by double-digit margins. And more than twice as many adults consider radio trustworthy compared to social media, which came at last place at 32%. Not only is radio a trusted medium for the average person, but also for super fans and super users of other media. Regardless of how much additional media people consume, radio consistently holds on to consumer trust, Katz Radio Group says in the latest edition of its Sound Answers Insights piece. Heavy users of TV, the internet, and social media all consider radio to be more trustworthy than the respective media they consume heavily. For example, 68% of heavy internet users consider radio to be very trustworthy, compared to 61% for computer internet and 56% for mobile internet among those same heavy internet users. More heavy TV viewers trust radio, 69%, than trust network TV, 64%, and cable TV, 63%. Nearly twice as many heavy social media users, 67%, trust radio than trust social media, 37%. Among heavy newspaper readers, 67% trust radio, the same percentage of heavy newspaper readers that trust newspapers. Radio also is deemed more trustworthy than magazines by heavy magazine readers by a double-digit margin. So they say that brands pay closer attention to the safety and trust of various media platforms when they place their ad dollars. They should listen to users of all media. Radio is the most trustworthy. So this is good news for radio in general. It means that people put a pretty high mark on the information they actually receive from this media. And I think this also is good because, like they say, ad revenue goes where people want to be. And if radio is where people trust the most the information, ad dollars might follow also on the radio side of things.
When you look at some of the stations, radio stations, AM stations in particular, and even some FM now that are broadcasting a news talk or an all news format, you see in some of the major cities that those stations rank, in many cases, higher than some of the music stations.
Yep.
So I think that's an indicator, too, that people still go to radio for their news, whether they're at home or whether they're in the car on the road. I think that's the mobile use where, you know, that radio's right there and you just, you know, switch it on and maybe leave it on all the time instead of playing around with, you know, other devices or whatever. It's encouraging, I think, though, that, you know, that they have that dominance over the other forms of media. Interesting that they split TV and cable TV.
Yeah.
I wonder if that may be, you know, when you watch your local newscast, it's pretty well balanced. But when you go to like CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, the cable news networks, they all tend to lean one way or the other. So maybe it's not as trustworthy in that case as a normal TV newscast might be.
Yeah, because cable TV, it'll be on specialized channels. Where
right.
on regular, usually, you know, your local stations that don't really go on one side or the other, they try to be more neutral, I would say.
Anyways, good news for that.
Yep.
Hopefully people find us trustworthy as well.
I hope so.
Well, they're tuning in. Maybe, you know, maybe they just want to see if we're not trustworthy. I don't know. Anyways, we try to, we do our best.
Yes,
that's all we
do.
Can do.
Absolutely.
You have some information about a new toy that you've been playing with?
Yes, I've been playing with a new, you know, it's the SDR mode now that everybody goes into, which is SDR, software-defined receivers, computer control devices. And the one that I've been playing with is the AirSpy HF Plus Discovery. This is a device that has very high marks. People rate this device as being one of the best out there. And of course, when I see that people talk about that and that it's supposed to be so good, I had to try it. So I purchased one for test purposes, comparing it to also what I use usually, which is the SDR Play RSPDX. So what it is, it's a very small, and that's the first surprise, a very small little black box that has an antenna input and a USB cable to just plug to your PC. It is a radio capable of going from the very low frequency range at 1 kilohertz all the way up to 31 megahertz in the shortwave spectrum. And it is also a VHF receiver that goes from 60 to 260 megahertz in reception. It is, in my tests, a good device. It is very sensitive. It works very well in receiving shortwave, particularly where I used it a lot. I did get a few satellites on the VHF range. It works well. Its advantage over maybe other, like over the SDR Play devices, for example, is that it can use one software that is very popular called SDR Sharp. That software for controlling radios is great because it has what we call plugins. So it adds all sorts of capabilities that a lot of the other software cannot use. So that's one very positive aspect of it. Like I said, it's very sensitive. I've had some great reception on shortwave with it. The negative side I have on it is that its waterfall, the amount of frequencies you see at the same time on your screen, is smaller than my SDR Play device. So you have a maximum of 912 kilohertz of frequency range that you could see at one time. It is limited also in its coverage for VHF. So for me, that also is kind of a negative side to it. This is nothing scientific, as this is not something that is, I cannot test it in environments with very low noise, because here it's a noisy environment. Overall, I put it in the same good category as an SDR Play devices. I know that some people say that it's better. I've even had some people that work in some tech departments that actually use them because they are known to be really good. So whatever you buy, I know one thing is the AirSpy is going to be a great device and you're going to have great performance out of it. And it, of course, is an all-mode device. It's like having, you know, a radio that receives every mode, even a single sideband. And it's just an overall great little device. It's around $169 US.
And are these available from the manufacturer, or are they sold by various dealers?
There are several dealers that have them. I bought it directly from AirSpy. Be very careful. There are some Chinese copies of those, and they do not perform very well compared to the original. So it's very important to make sure that you have the original one, not a Chinese fake. And, you know, sometimes can also not work with some of the software, depending on what you get. But I bought it directly from AirSpy to make sure that it was the real device.
Yeah, the word we use for those things are knockoffs.
Knockoffs, yes.
Yeah, where manufacturers are trying to copy and disguise almost their equipment to make you think it's the actual unit that you're purchasing. So we'll always beware of that with
Absolutely.
Any, you know, do your research and make sure you're getting the original device that you're looking for.
Absolutely.
All right, that sounds interesting. We'll put up links to all of this for you to check them out as well. If you do have any questions, you can always drop us a note at radioreport@yahoo.com, and we can try to answer your questions about any of the information you hear on the program. We will wrap up today's show, as usual, with the calendar of upcoming ham radio contests. We have four of them coming up for the weekend. We have first, sponsored by CQ Magazine, is the CQ 160-meter contest. It is a single sideband contest for all amateurs around the world to contact as many other amateurs in the United States, Canadian provinces, and countries as possible, utilizing the 160-meter band, and are recommending the 1810 to 2000 kilohertz in ITU Region 1, 1800 to 2000 in ITU Regions 2 and 3. We have a French-sponsored contest sponsored by the Réseau des Amateurs Français. It is the Coupe de REF contest, SSB. That one is running from 600 Zulu February 27th to 1800 Zulu February 28th. Sideband, this is interesting. They want French amateurs to work as many amateur stations in as many French of the 97 metropolitan departments and overseas territories, also DXCC countries of the world. This is 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10-meter bands. The UBA DX contest is a CW contest sponsored by the Royal Belgian Amateur Radio Union, 1300 Zulu February 27th, 1300 Zulu February 28th. It is CW, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters. And finally, the North American QSO Party, RTTY, sponsored by the National Contest Journal, 1800 Zulu February 27th to 0559 Zulu February 28th. RTTY only, to work as many North American stations as possible during that period, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters only. And we will put up the links to all of these contests so you can check out the rules and regulations for each.
Sounds great. And it's already time to say goodbye.
It is. It goes by so quickly.
Yep.
We do thank you for joining us this week and every week. We love having you with us. If you have any information you'd like to share with us, you can post it up on our Facebook page, International Radio Report, or drop us a note at radioreport@yahoo.com. We will see everyone next weekend at Winterfest on February 26th and 27th. That's going to be interesting. And other than that, catch you again next week on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye-bye.
For all Quebecers, we must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19, because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
You are listening to CKUT in Montreal!